We live in days of open defiance. There's little regard for those who hold positions of authority. Public school teachers tell us that cultivating healthy relationships in the classroom is one of their biggest challenges. Men and women who enforce our laws can tell horror stories about offenders who taunt them. And pastors, who are once held in highest regard, are viewed with suspicion and sometimes outright disregard. So what's the secret to engendering respect in our generation? Well, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll addresses this relevant topic in a message he's called Respecting Authority.
Genuine character seems more possible in us when we see it modeled in others. That's why I've always believed in being a student of great people. In this series, Wise Counsel for Troubled Times, we're becoming students of great people of the Bible. We're considering individuals like David, who at key moments in history chose to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God and allowed him to fulfill his plan, his way, in his time. Today I want to read for you a story lifted straight from the annals of David's unusual ascent to royalty. Having been newly appointed king of Israel, David found himself being hunted by his jealous predecessor, Saul. On one occasion, David, with sword in hand, had his adversary Saul within striking distance. And yet, David refused to harm the Lord's anointed. Now, why? Well, because he respected Saul's authority as his king. He also humbly deferred to God's sovereign authority over his ultimate future as king. Such a rare approach to leadership in our day. This stirring example of respecting authority is found in 1 Samuel chapter 24, which for our purposes today, I'd like to read in its entirety. I want us to grasp the immensity of this scene. Now, I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, 1 Samuel 24, starting with verse 1, all the way to the end of the chapter. So please, listen carefully to these words. After Saul returned from fighting the Philistines, he was told that David had gone into the wilderness of En-Gedi. So Saul chose 3,000 elite troops from all Israel and went to search for David and his men near the rocks of the wild goats. At the place where the road passes some sheepfolds, Saul went into a cave to relieve himself. But as it happened, David and his men were hiding farther back in that very cave. "Now's your opportunity," David's men whispered to him. "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy into your power to do with as you wish." So David crept forward and cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. But then David's conscience began bothering him because he had cut Saul's robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this to my lord the king. I shouldn't attack the Lord's anointed one, for the Lord himself has chosen him." So David restrained his men and did not let them kill Saul. After Saul had left the cave and gone on his way, David came out and shouted after him, "My lord, the king!" And when Saul looked around, David bowed low before him. Then he shouted to Saul, "Why do you listen to the people who say I'm trying to harm you? This very day, you can see with your own eyes it isn't true. For the Lord placed you at my mercy back there in the cave. Some of my men told me to kill you, but I spared you. For I said, I will never harm the king. He's the Lord's anointed one. Look, my father, at what I have in my hand. It is a piece of the hem of your robe. I cut it off, but I didn't kill you. This proves that I am not trying to harm you, and that I have not sinned against you, even though you have been hunting for me to kill me. May the Lord judge between us. Perhaps the Lord will punish you for what you are trying to do to me, but I will never harm you. As that old proverb says, from evil people come evil deeds. So you can be sure I will never harm you. Who is the king of Israel trying to catch anyway? Should he spend his time chasing one who is as worthless as a dead dog or a single flea? May the Lord therefore judge which of us is right and punish the guilty one. He is my advocate, and he will rescue me from your power. When David had finished speaking, Saul called back, "Is that really you, my son David?" Then he began to cry, and he said to David, "You are a better man than I am, for you have repaid me good for evil. Yes, you have been amazingly kind to me today, for when the Lord put me in a place where you could have killed me, you didn't do it. Who else would let his enemy get away when he had him in his power? May the Lord reward you well for the kindness you have shown me today. And now I realize that you are surely going to be king, and that the kingdom of Israel will flourish under your rule. Now swear to me by the Lord that when that happens, you will not kill my family and destroy my line of descendants." So David promised this to Saul with an oath. Then Saul went home, but David and his men went back to their stronghold.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Respecting Authority.
Straight talk and strong advice are rarely heard these days. In our politically correct culture, people frown on such. In fact, there are many circles where if I were to say there what I'm saying here today, I would be laughed off the stage. Many would not tolerate it. This has been going on for a long time. Those who have been given a platform where they are to speak forcefully and honestly have often chosen not to do so. And that is even true of some preachers. And that, again, is nothing new. I read this past week of an event that happened that told me this is nothing new. Our 16th president was at the end of his rope. The war was taking a severe toll on him as well as on our country as we were fighting against one another in that war between the states. He chose to attend a service one Sunday night at his church. He slipped in the side door and sat in an obscure section of the church so as not to be noticed. Had his stovepipe hat in his lap and often listened with his head bowed. His aide was sitting by his side. He sighed on a number of occasions as the preacher went on and on with his message. The president was looking for a few words of reassurance and fresh courage. As the minister finished his sermon, Lincoln's aide leaned over as they stood up together to leave and asked quietly, "What did you think of the sermon, Mr. President?" "I thought it was carefully thought through and eloquently delivered," said Lincoln. "So you thought it was a great sermon, Mr. President?" To the aide's surprise, he heard, "No." "I thought he failed." "Failed? How? Why?" "Because he did not ask of us something great." Today, my message may fail for other reasons, but it will not be because I haven't asked of you something great. In fact, I believe it will be one of those messages that you will find hard to forget. My strong advice that I believe we need to hear and heed can be put into a sentence, something like this. I challenge us to stop questioning authority and start respecting authority. If you were old enough to remember back in the 1960s, our nation became unhinged. Those were wild days. The establishment was in the crosshairs of every critic's eye. There came a two-word bumper sticker that appeared on old Volkswagen station wagons and sleek and slick sports cars as well. The bumper sticker read, "Question authority." As the 1960s gave birth to the 70s, on into the 80s, and even the 90s, that became a national motto, even though the bumper sticker faded and is rarely, if ever, seen today, the message remains strong into the 21st century. To this day, there are places that would sneer at any concept of being told you should respect authority. Some everyday examples come to mind that would help illustrate the point. The voice of the parent in the home is not as respected as it once was. Children and teenagers alike are known for defying their parents' words. The teacher in the classroom, instead of being honored, is more often challenged. I have a friend in LA who teaches math. He told me some time ago that in his 50-minute class, he spends about 10 minutes teaching math and 40 minutes dealing with disciplinary issues. Teachers are not respected. The reproof of an employer, rather than being accepted by the employee, is now resented and considered offensive. Who are you to correct me? The whole concept of showing respect for those who are aging or older is now considered somewhere between quaint and a little weird. Even showing respect for a lady. I remember standing back as the elevator door opened and I nodded for the lady next to me to step in, and her response was, "What are you waiting for?" I wanted to say, "Not a lot," but I didn't. The police officer in his black uniform, who was once feared, is now fought and often murdered. They often don't know what to expect when they step up to the vehicle. This last week, I needed a good illustration, and I didn't say it to anybody, but I just said to the Lord, I would just like for you to give me something I can share that will help get the point across. And he did. It was a quiet Tuesday morning as I was driving north on Hillcrest, coming from downtown Dallas out toward Frisco, not knowing that a gun was pointed in my direction. It wasn't a Smith & Wesson, it was a radar gun. About a half a block ahead, I noticed this poor soul out in the street waving. I didn't pay much attention that he was dressed in black and had long black boots on. I thought I would just wave as I went by. But I realized he was not a soul in distress. He wanted to talk with me about a few things. He greeted me with great courtesy. Good morning. I said, good morning, sir. I must have said sir 38 times in about 5 minutes conversation. Do you have any idea why I have stopped you? And of course, I didn't. I told him, no, I'm not aware of why you would do it. He quickly said, you were going 50 in a 35 mile per hour zone. I thought about saying my speedometer has not been right for a long time, but they've already heard that one. Then he asked for my license and without another word began to write some things down. He actually gave me a speeding ticket. I did give thought of inviting him to our church. I chose not to do that. I was tempted to tell him I'm a friend with half the Frisco Police Department. I didn't think that would help either. And suddenly I realized this is the illustration I was looking for. Thanks a lot, Lord. The man needed one thing from me, my respect. He has the worst job in the city. I know, don't start on that. I know there are some corrupt ones, but they are so few. Most of them are our best friend. I was taught when I was growing up, if you're lost, they're the ones you talk to. If you need help, they're the ones that'll help you. He needs my respect. I pulled over a little later and decided I would use my cell phone and give my wife a call so that she would sympathize with me. She laughed. And then she emailed all of our family and said, it was a really cute email, I have to tell you the whole story. She said, your father, in fact, your grandfather as well, if you're reading this, had just gotten a speeding ticket. And I'm wondering if one of you would like to be an encouragement to him at driver school as you sit with him. Remembering my message on encouraging others. It was an unusual way to do it, I thought, but maybe it wasn't to her. Isn't it strange that everything within us screams to resist an authority figure, to resent those who are correcting us, to rebel against being told what to do or what to stop doing? The favorite words of the 21st century are, I will sue you, not I want to thank you. I needed that reproof. There are scriptural statements woven through the fabric of the Bible that could take us the rest of our time to turn to them, so allow me simply to state the reference and give you the gist of it. In Exodus 20, verse 12, we're told to honor our father and our mother. Do you do that? Don't answer out loud. Many of you have begun to sneer at that because, after all, those wrong things your parents did, please. It says, honor your father and your mother. If you don't, you're disobeying the scriptures. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, a nation is addressed. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, just stop right there. We are not a nation known for our humility. I love this nation. I served this nation in the military. I would serve it again at the drop of a hat. I would die for my country, but I'm embarrassed by our nation and the pride and the arrogance with which we carry ourselves. If my people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I would hear from heaven and I would forgive their sin and heal their land. Presidents used to quote that, but of course now we're too sophisticated. We are not a humble nation. When I read the prayers of former presidents, I fight back the tears. They mention God. They mention Christ. They mention prayer. They mention the need for our nation to be on its knees. They mention the importance of respecting the things of God. And they plead to God to preserve us from something like calamity. We're to humble ourselves. We don't do that as a nation. I long to hear that from national leaders. Psalm 51, verses 1 to 3 and 16 and 17, David comes before the Lord after his miserable sin against God when he committed adultery and murder and hypocrisy. And he pled before the Lord to have mercy on me. And he spoke of being a broken man with a contrite heart and adds, a broken and contrite spirit God will not despise. Is your spirit broken and contrite? When is the last time your spirit was broken? When were you last contrite for having done wrong? Do you cultivate that among your children? Do you sometimes cry over the wrong you have done? God honors those tears. Micah 6:8, what does the Lord require of us but to do what is right? Listen to this. To love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Humbly. I walk with you, O God. I trust you, O God. I reverence you, O God. I fear your holiness. I stand before you in awe. You alone are God. Your word is truth, and I bow before it. Is that your line? You will not learn that in the school today. You will not learn that at the university. You will not hear that at the public square. You will not be taught that at your corporation. You will hear it from the scriptures, and you will hear it from churches that are still willing to talk straight and offer solid advice. When you get to the New Testament, Jesus' words in Luke 18:14, those who humble themselves will be exalted. Romans 13:1 to 5, submit to the authorities. Submit to them. And before I am careful, I start thinking about the authorities today. And I have struggles with that. Then I remember the authorities in Paul's day. How about in Peter's day, whose authority was Nero? And Peter writes similar words in 1 Peter chapter 2. Included in that is pay your taxes. Pay them. I know they're high. I agree they're too high. But pay them. For you to find a way out of it or to sneak around and cheat on it is disobedient to God, not just the nation. In Hebrews 13:17, we are told, obey your spiritual leaders, for they watch over your souls. I would say that there are some of you who resist that counsel. I'm to obey my pastor, the elders, obey? I mean, is that really what the word means? It really does. And if you don't, you are resisting authority that has been given by God. We didn't ask for the authority. We've been called to it. It is our responsibility. I answer in many ways for the reputation of this church. That is my responsibility.
For the next 2 days, Chuck Swindoll will continue to address this relevant theme, respecting authority. Now, to complement your independent study on this topic, let me draw your attention to a helpful resource provided by Insight for Living. Searching the Scriptures is a PDF document that contains in-depth study notes for each message Chuck delivers. and you'll find it at insightworld.org/studies. In addition to this free resource, we'd like to recommend a book Chuck has written that reinforces today's application. It's called A Life Well Lived. Developing virtues, such as respect for authority, takes intentional effort. But the process, the Bible teaches, is not without benefits. In fact, a life well lived comes with rewards. You can purchase a copy of A Life Well Lived right now by going to insight.org/offer. Or call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. As we conclude today, we'd like to express our profound thanks to our monthly companions and all who financially support this nonprofit ministry. Some have given sacrificially. For instance, we were touched by a recent comment that came from New York. This listener told us that over the holidays, their son had given his parents an anniversary gift. Apparently, it was a cash gift. The couple saw this as God's provision to pass along that sum to Insight for Living Ministries. Well, this is humbling to us, and we know that God will honor this expression of faith by using this donation to touch lives with His compassion and grace. Perhaps this sacrificial gift will inspire you to do what others cannot afford to do. Your gift allows us to deliver Chuck's Bible teaching on your radio station and others all across the country. To give a donation, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888 or give online at insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll continues this message about respecting authority right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Respecting Authority, was copyrighted in 2013, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.